I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
My name is William Gould. I am the singer in Creeper. This is Sex, Death, and the Infinite Void.
This one will remain with us the longest. Because not only is it the last show of this album campaign, it is the last show we'll ever do.
It was almost as though our audience expected something to happen, but had no idea what it would be. And I expected something to happen and felt like I knew exactly what it was going to be. But in all actuality, I had no idea what was about to happen. I was probably more surprised than anybody else, and I was the one with the most knowledge of what was about to occur. So from the moment I put my jacket down and a Callous Heart backdrop, which was the logo of the band's for the entirety of our career to that point, dropped to the floor, revealing a movie screen that played footage that Jay Wennington, our photographer, who had been on countless tours of us across the United States and Europe and England, almost everything. He made this movie montage that we set to a Leonard Cohen song. And that began to play. And I realized we were kind of at a funeral. We were at a funeral for the past 4 years of our lives, which was a surprise to me because I didn't quite realize exactly how emotional it was going to be. And we all laid our jackets down at the front of the stage, and as the movie played, which was for what it was planned for, was a great piece of misdirection. It was supposed to be like a magic trick almost. We were supposed to be diverting the audience's eye from to what was going on the screen, so we could immediately get to the back of the theatre and into a van that was waiting for us. Our tour manager, Simon Gallagher, had arranged all our bags inside the van, and we got out into the van and out of the building, away from the venue, long before a single one of our audience members had left. So it meant that we'd performed the ultimate vanishing act. Sean is standing up in the van, and I'm very stressed because often I orchestrate a lot of this stuff, and I snap at Sean. I'm quite rude to Sean, and I had to apologize later on. But I just want him to sit down. I want everyone to sit down to make sure all my guys are there and we're all okay. And I feel really awful about that afterwards. I remember that feeling. And we go to Ollie's dad's apartment, which is in London, where I'm still covered in my makeup from the show, and I'm still wearing my shirt from the show, but I haven't got my jacket anymore. When this is an odd thing to say for a band, what significance does a jacket have? But the significance these jackets had was they represented the entire part of they represented the entire band. They were not just a uniform. They were like a. It was almost like a mission statement. It was the thing that it was us putting the thrills and the pomp back into punk rock, which is what we were trying to do when we first started. And that was the first time we started doing that. We started making a conscious effort to have a symbol, and it was the symbol of our last record. And it was when I devised the Callous Heart originally. I devised it on Microsoft Paint while I was working at the call center. And skulls and hearts, I guess, are two things that are constantly combined anyway throughout popular culture. I think for me, it was a combination of a lot of things that I'd grown up with as well. Like musically, Creeper was like a melting pot of all my favorite bands. And visually, that was the same thing. It was like a huge part of my youth. And suddenly, this thing that had been there through all of it with us, we were kind of leaving it on the floor. And I remember feeling like we'd lost something, like we were missing something. And it took me a minute to realize that it was the jackets, and that the jackets that are just pieces of fabric that had changed in one shape or form over the years had a significant meaning. It was almost like letting go of a part of our youth. And what would happen from that moment would completely change the course of our lives. The idea for this was to try and give ourselves the time to make an album and allow the same mystery that we rode in on at the beginning of the campaign to happen again. It was like a second magic trick. But whereas the first time around, when we vanished from social media, which is quite an easy trick to perform that anyone can perform, this time we vanished from in front of our audience's eyes while they were there watching it. It was a great magic trick, it was supposed to be. But what it actually became was probably one of the single most definitive moments of the last few years of my life. One of the most defining moments of my whole life, I suppose. I always remember that. I never forget the panic in the air out of the room and the cries. It was the accumulation of a million hours of work, of every song, of every idea we've had, of every movie still that I printed off of my printer and put on my wall when I was living in Southampton. Every conversation I'd had at 4 in the morning with Ian sat in my kitchen. Every show we'd ever played in our old band, every show we played in this band, it was kind of the grand climax. There have been numerous times over the last course of the year where we'd had death threats and things from like really obsessed fans, not from from people who hated us, like this kind of people that loved you so much. It was really a bizarre time. And I remember my girlfriend at the time said, she was like, they're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. And I remember thinking, but this is what they want. They want to see the ultimate show. And I couldn't think of a better thing to do. It was a David Bowie quote, obviously, that started it. It was the end of The Spiders from Mars, which was the nucleus for all of this. It was like letting go of a big part of my youth at the same time. At this point, me and Ian, at least, our whole lives is Creeper. And so the way we'd put those jackets down, we were entering another part of our lives then, where the way we would make music and the way we would collaborate together wouldn't ever be the same again.
Hey, my name's Hannah, and I play keys and I do some vocals in Creeper. Even when I first started, to be honest, like, well, I mean, when I was a kid, like I was a proper emo kid, but I was quite, I don't want to say reserved, but I was always quite an anxious kid. So when I first started Creeper, I was like, wow, like this is intense, but intense in a good way. I came into Creeper in 2015 and I feel like it's almost been like the whole of my life. Like I kind of, it was just the piece of my life that was missing and it fitted in. And I just know, I don't know, like I've never felt so comfortable. When we did that end of the campaign, the Callous Heart campaign show in November, it was just astonishing to see the reaction and just to see how much Creeper means to people. And even now, it's such a big part of people's lives that they're not willing to just let it go. And that's an amazing feeling.
Back at Ollie's dad's house, we all sat on the floor, and I'm just kind of not at that time. It like the kind of shock of it all had hit me, and the internet was just going mad, and so I couldn't look at that, and the news sites already started picking up on it and everything, and it was like it felt like something really special had happened, and something quite sad, and some people were furious with us and some people were really applauding us and wondering what this all meant, if it meant that the band was done or or if it was just another stunt, because we're known for these stunts, you know. And I was there, sat in Ollie's dad's flat somewhere in London, wondering exactly the same thing. Was this the end of the band, or was this just a stunt? And as I sat there, kind of staring into his fireplace, I remember thinking to myself, what on earth happens now? Like, we've reached the end of this campaign. This is the end of the story as I've written it, and I've written it out in advance for such a long period of time. What is this next? What happens now? We were entering the void, so to speak. We began floating at that point, and it wasn't until maybe a year and a half on from that we finally came back down to Earth and re-emerged. And it kind of took this amount of time to get to this place with this record. The reason this record's been so delayed is because we literally tore the whole thing down to rubble, completely ignored what everyone was telling us about only progressing by 20% each record and alienating the fan base. That's one that I heard all the time from everybody. And we just decided to learn how to do it. And we learned that a lot of that came from Zandy Barry.
I'm Zandy Barry, and I produced Sex, Death, and the Infinite Void for Creeper.
Who was a man we met on, I think it may have been our second writing excursion in America.
Into my studio walk William Gould and Ian Miles. And we just immediately kind of hit it off. I will say they had been on the long sort of track of, you know, meeting producers, meeting songwriters in LA, and it's kind of a bit of this treadmill. And at times it can be a little discouraging, I think, if you're an artist, because you're, you know, you're just meeting new people every day and you're having to tell them your life story in about 30 minutes and then try and write a song together. I mean, it's kind of, it's a bit like speed dating.
And he was someone that a man called Dave Rath, a wonderful A&R from Roadrunner and Atlantic in the US, he put us in touch with. And it was such an unlikely thing. We'd met a lot of very bombastic, very loud and proud people who were wonderful collaborators and producers while we were over there. But none of it was like perfect. And we were feeling a little anxious, Ian and I, especially as we were over here on behalf of our band to try and work out a producer for this record. And we'd been working with Neil Kennedy in Southampton for such a long time before this that we were very comfortable there. But kind of stepping outside of your comfort zone is a nerve-wracking thing at the best of times. But when it involves something that you care so much about, your art, that's even more scary. So we walked into this room. We met him at his studio called Wax Inc. In Hollywood. And I came in, and he was sat in this little room at the end, which little did I know at the time that I would spend 10,000 hours in, just sat with him after. And he was sat there, and he said, "Oh, you must be the Creeper guys. Come in. And we sat down in this room, which he had lit by red lighting all the time, red lights everywhere. And he was the first person not to just pick a guitar up and start trying to play a tune with us and not try to work. He said to us, "What are you into? What's the story with this?" And that was how it began. That's how this actually all ended up happening in the first place. It's because Zandy was interested in storytelling, and that is completely what the entire band is about. It's about telling a story and about building that. And he listened to what we had to say.
We just hit it off. They're just delightful lads, you know. They had a real excitement about music. So instead of actually getting any work done, we spent about 6 hours just listening to records. You know, it was like Bowie records and Meatloaf records and
the Proto Men. And we listened to Jim Steinman records, and we listened to really bombastic, over the top 80s stuff. And then we listened to Britpop. And then we listened to rock and roll and some Motown and
Randy Newman records and The studio that I work out of in LA had recorded, you know, the Doors had recorded back there and Hendrix had recorded back there. So I don't know, we just started pulling out records and listening to things. They turned me on to this really cool band, Proto Men, that I had never heard of. And we were watching their videos and their shows. And I don't know, just at the end of several hours, we were all just kind of laughing and just enjoying music.
And we didn't even begin to collaborate. We didn't even start writing or we didn't even start working on our songs. The first day, we just hung out.
So we decided to get together the next day and we continued with the day we had booked and we wrote a song and it was great and I loved it. I mean, it was absolutely an insane song. It was just crazy. I was pretty sure people were either going to love it or hate it. And it turned out everyone liked it.
And I went back to the hotel with Ian and he turned to me and just said, "This is our guy." And I knew it too. And that's how it began, as quickly as that.
I was like, yeah, sure, let's go. So that's kind of the story, how it started anyway. There's a lot that happened afterwards.
I was born cold, so much colder than you. A transparent brute, black heart you see right through. You're all spirit, all weapon and mourning. I'm the smoker's health, the hangman hangs himself.
This is a Mighty Moon Media podcast.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Summer's just around the corner, so give your body the care it deserves with Osea's best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil. Created by infusing Andaria seaweed in barrels of botanical oils, it leaves skin silky soft and glowing. Plus, it's clinically proven to improve elasticity and deeply moisturize without feeling greasy. It's safe, clean, vegan skincare. Get 10% off your first order at OseaMalibu.com with code GLOW, plus free shipping on orders over $60.